This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, and you are here with Checkpoint Intimates, your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic. My name is Elliot, and this week I am getting intimate with Colby.
Hey, Elliot.
How we doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good. This week on the show, we want to talk about managing community expectations. Basically, how a developer or a publisher might interact with their community to make sure that, you know, they're on the same page. Like, do you announce something well in advance and build hype? Or do you kind of manage those expectations and release a game like not too long after you've announced it?
Yes. Or what do you do when the expectations just get completely out of control?
Yeah.
And next thing you know, the world's expecting an infinite, you know, space flying game, and you're like one of three people working on it. It's like, what do you do?
Yeah. So obviously, there's a very specific example talking about No Man's Sky there, because obviously there's an example of a studio that didn't manage expectations. What they did was they released footage and they started talking about their game and they started building up the hype so much that the game that released could never be this thing that they were promising or that they were alluding to existing. So they kind of decided to go the route of hype train rather than going the route of, no, this is what the game is in actuality. Let's make sure that people understand what it is before they jump in so that they're not disappointed when it actually releases.
And you wonder, because, you know, in hindsight, it did seem like a fairly amazing concept to pull off. And, you know, like you were saying, when it was coming up to release, it almost seemed like the developers believed that they were going to create that as well. But the end result was that it clearly was not the case.
No, yeah, it's just, it's such a funny example because I think, I don't remember the community.
I was on the hype train.
Yeah, me too. I don't remember a game releasing where the community was as bitter after it released than No Man's Sky. Because that was like the epitome of a game building hype train and then crushingly disappointing its fans. Because it really did do that in some drastic ways. And sometimes, honestly, it seemed like kind of just misleading by the developers. Like, they would genuinely mislead people into believing things that didn't exist, such as saying stuff like, you know, you probably won't ever run into somebody because the world is just that big, but it's possible, when in reality, it wasn't possible. Like, you were just being misleading. So that's one example of managing community expectations. We see it happen a lot, though. We don't want to just talk about No Man's Sky. Valve has a very interesting approach to community expectations because they're another developer where the fans are just brutal and they will jump and attack and pounce on anything they can get. So, for instance, we still don't have an announcement for Half-Life 3. We don't know if it'll ever exist. Valve, every time it comes up, they're tight-lipped about... we know that they had definitely been working on it at one point. If that still is happening, potentially that's true, potentially that's untrue. Like, they are just stone cold silent. They won't say anything. Their way of managing community expectations is trying not to set expectations in the first place.
How long's that game been in development for now?
I mean, if it started after Half-Life 2, then what, like 12 years?
Yeah.
No, maybe a bit less. 10 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a long time, and a long time coming, because the way Half-Life 2 Episode 2 ended was just a massive cliffhanger. Like, it was a game built to have a sequel. They always said there will be a Half-Life 2 Episode 3, right? But now it's been too long for that. It's been too long for an Episode 3 that everyone now expects there to be a Half-Life 3, but those expectations are built on hope rather than anything Valve has said, because, as I said, their way of managing community expectations is by not setting expectations. They want to say nothing until there is something to be said.
And, you know, it's like the complete opposite of the whole No Man's Sky thing, where it's like, at some point, you just got to put the fans out of the misery. Do you know
yeah.
what I mean? You can't leave people thinking that you're making a game when you're actually not. Or at some point, you know, it's not going to do any harm to say, you know, that game that you've been expecting for 11 years that we haven't mentioned for the last 4 years? Well, just so you know, we're not actually doing it. Do you know what I mean? Or something along those lines.
Is that
Or say it in a nicer way.
Or do it. True. Or just release your game.
Or just make your game. Yeah.
I think the reason that a lot of studios are super, like, they don't want to make those announcements. They don't want to say, hey, this game we talked about ages ago, actually, development has stopped. Like, there's problems. It's probably not going to happen anymore. They don't want to say that because there's a chance that after they make that announcement, the studio makes the decision, actually, no, you know what? We are going to work on this again. Like,
well, you know, the funny thing is, it's like, because, you know, when it's like, well, you know, do we tell people that development's in trouble? It's funny how long things can drag on before we start to ask those questions, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, oh, you know, they're just taking a long time. They've just taken 12 years because they want it to be really good. It's like, no, that sort of indicates that all might not be well. In the world of the development of this game.
I think one of the problems with not saying anything or going long periods of time without saying anything is the gamers remember.
Mm.
They will hold on to something because they're so passionate and they'll be like, actually, you know, 13 years ago in this very specific interview you did, you said the game would consist of this and this, but in reality, when it released, this wasn't like in the game. And it's like, well, my God, things change during development. Like, and that's why some companies are so scared. Like, they don't want to say much because they're going to get held to that and feel like they're accountable and disappoint people when it actually releases.
Well, I guess the thing is, it's like you can't, because I guess, you know, there's a point at which you've sort of made your bed or dug your grave, depending on, you know, how you want to think about it. Because, you know, once you're 2 years in, you can say, well, you know, actually, what we're doing wasn't working so well, so we've stopped it and we're going to start again. Or the engine just wasn't working. We're going to aim for the next generation of consoles and buy ourselves a couple years. Once you start teasing people, you know, over and over and over again, it drags out. It's like you've pretty much said that you're working on this game and it will be finished, and you don't really leave yourself an out to go like, well, actually, no, we can't finish it as it is. And it, I guess it means you're forcing the people working for you in your company to try and make something work that might just not be working.
Mm.
You know, and I wonder if partly it's like, you know, when like you're, you know, not in my job because I'm a great employee, but you know, when like your boss comes in and you're like, oh, how's that report doing? You know, oh yeah, the report's going really, really well. In reality, it's like, shit, I forgot about the report.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can absolutely feel like that's probably what happens a lot of the time, right? Like, there's so much pressure from the community.
You know, that like you your CEO's flying over from Japan for once every 6 months. You've been telling him for 6 months that this game's all going fine, you know, the team's fine.
Yep.
And then it's like you've got to, like, bash something together in the space of a couple of weeks so it looks playable. You know, or like, you know, Square in Japan's like, oh, we need like a trailer for E3. How's the game going? So it's like, oh, guys, we'll make up a trailer.
Yeah.
Like, show this
the
E3.
Game doesn't
like,
exist.
It looks great.
But let's pretend like it does.
Yeah, exactly. But like, we make the game exist.
Part of me is like, I get it, right? Like, imagine if you were super transparent with your community and you did all the right things to try to support them. And you did something like say, oh, actually, guys, we're running into development issues. Like, this is a huge problem. I don't know if we'll recover. I don't know what the future is. All of a sudden, stock prices plummet. The community gets outraged because their favorite game might be like going kaput. And then like 3 weeks later, the studio has actually had a breakthrough and they're like, no, we can do this.
Yeah.
But all of this bad thing has already happened and there's this reputation tarnished. And suddenly there's this company standing there going, why did we say anything? Why didn't we just keep our mouths shut, power through and hope for the best?
Well, I think that's what a certain company's been doing on a certain game at the moment.
But, go on, you can say names.
It's only a matter of time before, you know, the truth will reveal itself. You can't put these things off forever unless you just fire a bunch of people. What companies do it well?
Well, it depends what you mean by well. See, I'm still in two minds. Part of me is like, I totally appreciate the way Valve handles things by not saying anything until there's something ready to say, because they're not setting up people for disappointment. But then you have the flip side of things. So I remember specifically because I used to watch these videos. There was a developer, Wolfire Games, who made the Overgrowth game. It's a small indie studio, so you may not have heard of it, but the point remains valid, because what they did is every single week, they would release a developer update video, and they'd be like, this is what we're currently working on, and this is what it looks like, and this is our thoughts for the future, and this is this problem we've run into. And they had this huge community engagement and interaction, and they really played on that. Like, that was part of their identity for that game. They were, like, massively involved within the community. Now, that game kind of went through development hell because it just wouldn't release. And it was one of those examples where the game was like 11 years in development or something stupid.
And then it turns out, and then the, like the videos are starting to turn into like a diary from like the Blair Witch Project. And yeah. He's got like a beard and you know, it's all dark. And he's like, so we've been up for 48 hours trying to finish like this sequence, but the game's still not done, et cetera, yep. et cetera.
But the problem was they set a precedent. As soon as you're doing weekly videos, yeah. you're stuck doing weekly videos because if you go radio silent, everyone's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What's happening? Have you stopped working on
are
this
okay?
game? I've already pre-ordered. Yeah. Why have you stopped working on this game? I want to know
I
what's happening.
I funded it on Kickstarter.
Yeah, which the game, I'm pretty sure, went through Kickstarter. Yeah. So, yeah, and we see this heaps on Kickstarter too because Kickstarter has a literal section where it's like updates and the developers are supposed to continually update their fans because these people are funding the game. They want to know what's happening. They want to know that their money isn't going to waste. So there's this, yeah, there's a real importance put on updating the community and staying involved.
Speaking of which, one that I just thought of, Atari and their Atari box.
Mm.
Because, you know, they did the, you know, and, you know, famously, you know, back in the day at E3, like Sony and Sega and stuff, they'd take their consoles, they're their brand new ones before they release, but they'd just be pieces of wood shaped like the console. They weren't actually the console, right? Because Atari showed off theirs, I think, actually, and they had some mock-ups, but that was supposed to launch on a funding, like, pre-order site in December, and I'd forgotten about it, and then they pulled it at the last minute. So how do you think Atari's handling their re-entry to the console world? Because, again, there's still not much known.
No, I mean, Atari's launch for their new console, I feel, always was going to be tumultuous. Like,
because they could have had the hype train, like the hype train's at the station if they want to make a big deal out of it. But they don't seem to be making a big deal out of it.
Yeah, well, it's true. I mean, I can't even speak to what maybe they're, what's going through their mind. But yeah. at the same time, like we keep seeing bad PR come about from people who hype their product so much that when the reality like hits, all of a sudden the product is so devalued compared to what it may have been, and the studio is so devalued that like, is it worth it? Right? Like, like we're back at No Man's Sky again because here's a game that was hyped so much and it sold well. Like, it sold really well through pre-orders in that kind of first week. But then the whole game's reputation was tarnished and the whole studio's reputation is tarnished and nobody's going to believe their next project.
Well, no. I mean, not unless they make it something very simple, but they're certainly not going to be able to claim they've created a universe again.
No.
But, you know, I guess the moral of the story is that before you start, before you hop on the hype train and, you know, fire it up, you know, you want to have something at least tangible or on the way to being tangible. Do you know what I mean? Rather than starting to make all these big promises like Square, you know, 10 years ago.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, yep. at least do your planning, do your feasibility, whatever. Make sure what you want to do can be done before you tell people that this is what you've done, before you've done it.
Yep. Because and part of it, I think part of it has to just come down to management. You have to know what you're capable of achieving.
Yeah.
So there are some studios who are actually very good at this, like Bethesda, for instance, or even Rockstar, where it's like, if they announce a game, that game's coming out.
Mm.
Like, I don't have any fear of like an announcement followed by a cancellation or a development hell kind of thing where the game gets delayed and delayed and delayed and we have no idea when it's actually going to come out, because Bethesda kind of proved it. Like, they did E3 last year, said Fallout 4 is announced and it's releasing in 3 months, and it's like, oh my god, like, that's how Bethesda managed their community expectations. Mm-hmm. They didn't say, you know, when they initially started working on Fallout 4, they didn't release a teaser trailer with actually no gameplay.
Yeah.
They didn't, like, say, hey, we're doing this awesome thing, like, you guys aren't going to believe it, before actually figuring out if that thing they wanted to do was even possible. They just did the thing and then said, here's the thing.
And, you know, that is a really cool, you know, that's cool in a number of different ways, but it's always really awesome. People have been like, oh, when instead of showing up at E3 saying, oh, this is what we're going to be doing, it's like, hey, this is what we've been doing and you'll be able to check it out soon. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm just trying to think of what it was, but, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's like bands with music and things like that, where it's like, you know, we've already done this. So it's like a showcase rather than a teaser.
Right, yeah. And I think, honestly, I think fans want both.
Mm.
It sucks, but people want to know what's being worked on. Like, here I am sitting saying that I really appreciate the way Bethesda handled Fallout 4, But part of me is saying to myself as well, if there's a Fallout 5 in development,
yeah,
God, I wish I knew about that.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I knew. Just part of me is like, I just want to know what's happening in every orifice of this industry, because I am so attached to video games and I love them so much that it matters to me, even though I'm just setting myself up for disappointment.
Well, not even that, but I guess, but you're 100% right, because it's also part of the fun is looking forward to something and sort of looking at it take shape. Like, you know how, you know, you used to see, you know, the 60% complete photos in like a magazine of like a game that got shown off, where E3 was like, where you show off your half done games and you get your release and then you get the game you've been looking forward to. So like in some ways, like saying, oh, here's my game that we've made, it's out now. It's sort of like, it sort of robs you of the opportunity to look forward to something.
Yeah, I mean, people get like caught up in hype, and that happens a lot. And sometimes that's a fun thing, like to be hyped. Like, it is basically excitement. Excitement is a positive emotion. Yeah. But the flip side to excitement is disappointment. And finding the balance between those two emotions, that's kind of what these studios need to find a way to do. Because the community is, it's unpredictable, but it's predictable. And I know that sounds like a contradiction, but what I kind of mean by that is that, like, there's so many different people and so many different opinions that it becomes hard to, you know, you can't help everybody. Not everybody's going to be, you know, on the same wavelength. Mm. But, like, there are trends in this, right? We can see when a game goes too far. We can see when maybe, you know, Valve is too tight-lipped versus No Man's Sky is too open.
And you can sort of see how the different companies have their own little personalities as well. Like, you know, one company's policy is lie. Another company's policy is like, you know, do updates or, you know, but you can sort of see which companies you can rely on and which you can't.
So managing community expectations, it's definitely a fine line, a fine balance. And that's why these big studios have entire teams kind of dedicated to public relations and community engagement and making sure that all of that is tied together in a neat little bow. Whether they've done it perfectly, who knows? There are definitely some studios that haven't, but it'll be interesting because we are in the lead up to E3, and this conversation is probably going to come up again because, you know, community expectation, like, it's important, and hype is real, and disappointment is real.
And the hype train starts at E3.
And it derails so quickly.
Yeah, it does.
Anyway, thank you, Colby, for joining me.
It's always nice to be here.
My name is Ali, and you guys have been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. Make sure you join us next week, because there is more intimate goodness coming up.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.